Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
High atop the San Francisco skyline, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Welcome to Wednesday. Wednesday usually means on Sports Talk Radio, you stop worrying about the game you lost and you start thinking about the game you might win coming up on Sunday. And that's where we're going to take the direction of today's show. A backup quarterback is now in charge of getting the Raiders into the win column. It looks like a backup quarterback is starting to work out with the 49ers first team a little bit. Maybe, just maybe, they were listening to the 49ers were listening to Jeff Garcia's great evaluation of Brian Hoyer on the Football Hour. Maybe they're big 95.7 game fans down in Santa Clara. Why wouldn't they be? We got a great show for you today. Mike Sando's going to join me at 3:30 to talk about how really, you know, Colts Niners, let's face it, that's a game only a mother could love. The connection there is Frank Gore. We'll talk a little bit about that. Poor Frank, he bet on the wrong horse. To wrap up his career, he wanted to attach himself to a young, talented quarterback and an up-and-coming team, and that's what the Colts were supposed to be. And then they weren't. And now Frank is just kind of playing out the stretch. We got Bucky Brooks coming up today. He's at 4:30. One of my favorites, a man who stole my Hoosier heart a long time ago. Dan Dockich, we're going to talk a little bit about this game with him. Coming up at 5:30 today, Bruce Jenkins, little local angle with the Grand Sage. Coming up this afternoon. But we're set, locked in, ready to go. Albie, he did his job already today. I like it. Good job. Bouton Vixen. About to get it done. There's no doubt about it. And as always, except for tomorrow and Friday. Gianna, how are you?
Good.
Yeah. You're dressed like a Jack Daniels bottle today.
Yeah, my shirt does kind of look like that.
It's trying to look like a Jack Daniels label. Yes, it is.
Just California.
Endorsing the state of California. That's very right. Nice. I'm a fan of the state of California.
As am I.
Yeah, it's a very nice place to be. Just reasonably priced and wonderful. We've got a fantastic show for you today. We've got you till 7 o'clock tonight. And let's start looking ahead just a little. We will at some point in time today look back one last time on what exactly happened in Arizona. Yeah, there's no mystery there. What happened with the Raiders in Denver is still something worthy of our attention and our examination. We will do that today. We will be taking your calls at 888-957-9570. So the 49ers are looking for their first win in Indianapolis. You knew that. The Raiders host the Ravens. You knew that. They need a good game out of a backup quarterback to get things going again. Looking ahead to a little college football coming up this weekend. Sneaky, tough game for Stanford at number 20, Utah. Cal heads to number 6, Washington. If you'd like a little Mountain West local hot plate special, how about Fresno State at San Jose State this weekend? Come on. Is Chris Townsend already tailgating outside that game, ready to go? Number 1 Alabama against Texas A&M in College Station. There's a little something to keep me attached to my couch this weekend. Some interesting games, too, including Maryland, which is on its like 5th quarterback already. It's amazing. If you play quarterback for the Maryland Terrapins, chances are you're in a hospital right now. Everybody's gotten hurt. But there they are, having won in Austin already this year. Now they're off to Columbus to take on number 10 Ohio State. Michigan State is at Michigan, number 7, Jim Harbaugh. We'll look to see what he can do. Number 11, Washington State, coming off a huge upset at USC, taking on Oregon. And if you haven't already figured this out, Gianna, my wife is leaving this weekend, so I am planning my college football viewing schedule. She is off to a bachelorette party in Palm Springs.
Oh. Fun.
Male stripper will be involved.
I cannot wait!
Male stripper's coming. I'm sure of it. You want to know how I'm sure of it? It's because my wife is planning the party.
Oh, nice. She's in charge.
She's in charge. There will be a sexy cop, a sexy fireman. There's no doubt in my mind. Here's what I love about her. If she's planning a party and getting a stripper for that party, she's going to do it right.
Good.
She's going to do it right. This dude's going to have abs. He's going to be shaking it. I made her promise a no junk policy.
Okay.
No dangling junk. That's if you can promise me that, go with God and have a great time.
That's good. You're cool with it.
Oh, it doesn't matter where you work up your appetite as long as you come home to eat. I'm a big believer in that. Big believer. We've got a fantastic show for you today. It has more to do than just male strippers. How about the fact that we got a Sharks opening night? Can we get excited about hockey this early in the year? It feels hard to do, but we'll do it.
Jonas
Puck drops tonight. Much like a stripper's G-string drops this weekend in Palm Springs. Puck drops tonight. Sharks start off their season, by the way, with 5-game homestand. Then they take a 5-game road trip. But they, this is about moving on from Patrick Marleau. All the memories, all the records. Basically, he is the club leader in every single category that a hockey team has offensively. You're going to head to the tank tonight. You're going to see the number 2 overall draft pick, a 19-year-old kid who plays for the Flyers. He goes out there for the first time tonight. The Sharks, 9-1-1 in their last 11 matchups against the Flyers in the state of California. Philadelphia does not come west very well. So we'll see what kind of a start the Sharks can get off to with a very nice 5-game homestand to begin the year before they take a 5-game roadie. We'll take a look at it. We'll take a look at it. I'm going to watch a little hockey tonight.
He scores! He scores!
Yeah.
Me too. That'll be fun.
Yeah. I'm ready for a little. You know what? This is a perfect thing because normally hockey, it starts right at the same time. The NFL is going on, so you don't really notice it. And then it starts the same time that basketball is going to be that other thing you start to notice. Hockey starting even earlier this year, good for hockey. What am I going to watch tonight? Little baseball, little hockey. By the way, if you watched a little baseball last night, what a game in the Bronx, man. That was a good one. And I'll tell you what, I saw somebody, I think, I can't remember exactly who tweeted it, so I'm not going to go ahead and attribute it to anyone. But this is not an original thought from Damon Bruce. This was someone who was there at the game in Yankee Stadium covering the game. Said that the Bronx felt like 1996, 2000 Yankee Stadium. Like, wow. It was like very real, very noisy, very intimidating, very loud. And maybe the most into a game the new stadium has seen any crowd be. Like, it was a wild one last night. It really was. That was a fun game to watch. Surviving Derek Carr's absence. That's the mission. That's the mission for Jack Del Rio and company. Surviving your most important piece's absence and cobbling together a game plan around a guy who at the very least has gotten it done before. Jack Del Rio, I don't think, wants to get anybody fooled that this is going to look like what unfortunately Connor Cook looked like last year in the understudy role. Connor Cook was a kid making his first ever start on the road in a playoff game. Like, it was a recipe to lose. There was no doubt about it. Even the most silver and black Homer Raider fan of all time knew that they were going to catch a loss with Connor Cook in Houston playoff game last year. You knew it. You just knew it was coming. Jack Del Rio promises that with EJ Manuel, it will be different just based on his experience level.
I mean, last year in the playoff game, we had a rookie making his first start. So obviously a lot better situation. I have a guy who's taken snaps in the league, started games, and we'll have time to prepare. So I think it's a lot different scenario.
Talked about what he with the team can do to help Manuel through Sunday against the Ravens.
Well, I think the fact that we've had him here, he's been in camp, he's been getting reps, he played a little bit in the game the other day, and Todd worked with him previously when he was got his starts in Buffalo. So I think those are all factors that help. But it's a tough Ravens defense we're going against, so we've got to get ready to go.
It is a tough defense that you're going against. It's a Ravens team that is kind of struggling the same way that the Raiders are, though. They started, Baltimore did, 2-0, and then lost back-to-back weeks with an embarrassing loss just being served to them by their arch-rival, the Steelers. The rival Broncos just handed the Raiders a loss that sort of embarrassed them. Everybody's got a bad taste in their mouth. And you got to get this ground game going to give EJ Manuel a chance. In Denver, there was no chance for Derek or anyone wearing a Raider uniform based on the fact that the ground game never got going. Didn't even come close. Last weekend, the Raiders rushed for 24 yards on 15 carries. I'm going to use air quotes here. Gianna, just you're the only one who can see him. Marshawn Lynch led.
Quote.
Air quotes. Marshawn Lynch led the Raiders with 12 yards on 9 carries. This is a big weekend for Marshawn. I don't think he'll have a single game where he's asked to do more to open up an offense than he will be asked to do this week with a backup quarterback. Marshawn Lynch, Jalen Richard, DeAndre Washington, an awful lot of this weekend is on you guys. Anytime you're talking about the running game, you're including the offensive line as well. But these guys got to get this offense going. You can't count on, well, you know what? EJ Manuel is getting Crabtree back off of not even playing the week before, and he'll be the one to wake up Amari Cooper. And I'm really, really nervous that Amari Cooper might be, even with his 1,000 yards, and he's impressed us in the past. Is he heading towards looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane category? Because he is not making the catches he has to make if he is going to be a number one wide receiver in this league. Period. End of story. This is professional football. This isn't about being good. This is about being great. And right now, being good would be an upgrade for Amari Cooper. EJ Manuel knows that he's got to do all he can to get Cooper involved again this weekend.
I think we can do a great job of allowing Coop to be who he is. You know, there's no pressure on him because we know he's a great player. And that's why, you know, we threw that pass, you know, on Sunday. Because I know Coop is one of those guys, if you give him a 50-50 chance, you know, oftentimes he'll come down with it. So we definitely want to get him rolling, get his confidence rolling and everything like that. And, you know, get us some touches early so he can make some plays.
Meanwhile, the 49ers head to Indianapolis to take on the Colts. The Colts are just waiting for Andrew Luck to get back under center, and it's not going to happen this weekend. Even though he was working out today, lightly stretching with the Colts quarterbacks, he did not participate in practice, not even walked through. He's not even a halfway participant. No Andrew Luck again this weekend for the Colts. That means it's Jacoby Brissett, Frank Gore, and what, T.Y. Hilton. If you can slow those three guys down, maybe the 49ers find the win column. It would be good for them to find the win column. I won't be angry if they don't. Whatever gets you closer to the number one overall pick, not that the Colts would be picking a quarterback if they had the number one overall pick. I think they're pretty much committed to Andrew Luck. But this is one of those teams that might be wrestling with you in the who's going to have a top four pick conversation come draft time. The Colts suck, boys and girls. Don't let their win over Cleveland fool you. I don't think anyone's getting fooled by that. 49ers are just wildly limited. They're limited in their talent pool. They're limited in their depth chart. They're limited by their quarterback, who today, Jeff Garcia, said straight up, it's not an NFL starter. He's just your starter. This is Jeff Garcia from the Football Hour today on the Afternoon Delight.
He's been a journeyman quarterback. He's never started an entire season. He's been one of those guys that teams have basically gone to when the better option was not available. And so as much as we thought, well, he's coming back into a Kyle Shanahan system. He was with Kyle in Cleveland. There were signs of him being effective in Cleveland. You know, the reality of the situation is that he's not a starter in the National Football League, and they're trying to make him a starter, and right now in the first four games, he has not done enough to really solidify that role.
There's a part of the Niners that I think are comfortable with that evaluation, and they look, John Lynch, the Shanahan, himself. It's not like if they were listening to Jeff Garcia, they just discovered Hoyer's really not the guy. They know that. They know it. They know it. I know it. You know it. Gianna knows it. Falcon knows it. Everyone knows it. Everyone knows who Hoyer is. He is the other guy. The other guy is probably what they need just a little bit if they're really taking everything they're doing and pointing it towards the future. But there it was in your update. The man who's hard to beat. Beat hard, C.J. Beathard. C.J. Beathard is getting first-team snaps in practice. Do you know what that means? Nothing for Sunday, but it means it's coming.
Yeah, it's down the road.
It's coming. It's coming. And it also might mean that even though Hoyer starts this game, he's not going to finish it. There has to be a point where it's not even really about replacing Hoyer. It's just exploring Beathard. You got to know what you've got. You got to know what you have. The chances of Beathard surprising everybody and turning into the next Russell Wilson. It's a small chance. It's a very, very small odds. Or no, long odds. How would you describe it? Chances are it ain't going to happen is what I'm trying to tell you.
That works.
But you got to see. You got to kick the tires. If nothing else, you got to know whether or not Beathard is the guy that will be on your roster next year as a backup. If familiarizing yourself with Kyle Shanahan's offense is a merit, not a demerit, but a merit that they're looking for in quarterbacks, well, who could be more familiarized with Kyle Shanahan's offense than a quarterback who's never held a playbook that wasn't written by Kyle Shanahan at the professional level? So all the habits that Shanahan wants in a quarterback should be getting installed into C.J. Beathard. Then you throw him out there when the timing's right and you see what you got. You hope for the best. You don't expect it. You just see what you got. What I really think is going to happen is we're going to see Hoyer start this roadie, this entire three-game road trip. I think Hoyer, they're in game two of the three-game road trip. Hoyer gets every single start here. Then I even think he gets a couple starts at home, and then in that Giants game, that's the last stand for Brian Hoyer. Bye week after that, have Beathard finish out the year just to see what you got. You can see it coming. You can sort of see it coming. There's a very slow burn. It's not going to be the, Glennon out, Trubisky in. Hey, Savage out, Watson in. We've made the change. That's it. Heck, they might even go back to Hoyer if Beathard was bad. You know, I mean, that's when Hoyer shines, when he's the guy that you don't expect anything from anymore. By the way, I feel it's important as a critic to say this out loud and into a microphone, and we don't do it enough on the show. This is hard. This is so hard. Playing quarterback is the biggest scoop of hard maybe there is in all of sports. That's why there's about 10 to 12 guys who are good at it on the planet at any one particular time. You know, hitting a baseball might be the toughest thing to do every day in sports. But being a starting quarterback, man, is just a pile of this ain't easy that is hard for us to comprehend. We see the best of the best make it look easy, and that's what the best of the best do. The best of the best make it look easy. You know, you would watch Michael Jordan play basketball and then you'd go out in the backyard and you'd try to emulate that because, gosh, he made it look easy. If he can do it, maybe I can do it. You know, that's easy to do. This is so hard. What these guys go up against, the knowledge that they have to have, the command of the playbook, the command of the room, the respect of their peers, tuning out media, tuning out social media, every single thing that goes on falls on you, whether it's your fault or not. Welcome to the Dope Show, everyone. I mean, it's tough.
It's a lot of pressure.
It's, gosh.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine.
You know, imagine if you're a starting pitcher, but you start every game. that's basically what you are as a quarterback, man. You are. It is on you to win or lose all the time. Let's say your right guard doesn't have a very good game. You know what? That's a football game. You can still win. Let's say your middle linebacker plays poorly today. That's a football game. You can still win. Let's say your defensive line doesn't get to the quarterback once. It's a football game. You can still win. Wide receiver has a few drops. Running back doesn't have a very good yard per touch average. You can still win that game. If your quarterback is not the guy, winning that game just got a lot harder. I mean, there is no position in sports where how's it going to go today lays more on one guy's shoulder than that.
Right.
It's just brutal. And we talk about these guys and we just casually play with it. Well, you know, if this doesn't work out, you pull them out, you put the next guy in, and that should get better. That, nope. Let me tell you what I think is going to happen with EJ Manuel on Sunday. Which way are you leaning? Pleasant surprise? Total disaster. I'm leaning total disaster. I really am, man. And he's saying all the right things. He is winning the press conference, if you will. Seems like he's got the team behind him. Confidence isn't going to be an issue, but it's straight up execution. And the guy that started all those games in Buffalo never impressed me once. Now everything's going to be great. The team around him is better, so he'll be better. I hope so. Unfortunately, the team around him hasn't been that good 2 weeks in a row. That's a trend, by the way. When you only play 16 games, two in a row is an official trend. So now the Raiders, if they were just plugging C.J. Beathard in and playing gangbuster football team-wide, I'd say, you're, excuse me, E.J. Manuel.
E.J. Manuel.
C.J., E.J., gosh. If the offensive line was doing what it was doing, if Marshawn Lynch were banging out 100 yards like it was no big deal, if we saw wide receivers healthy, executing their jobs all over the field, if Jared Cook wasn't dropping bread basket passes right in his belly, I'd say, you know what? You can survive. You can survive because Manuel's good enough to not lose you a game. I don't think he's good enough to win you a game, especially when things aren't going well. I hope I am wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I don't know what to make of a text like this on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line, but it says, from Raider Mike, Damon, I really do think that EJ is the future of the franchise. Carr will be traded for defensive players. Sir, take the rest of your day off. Not only are you delusional or on something, you're just wrong, and you don't know how economics works. They did not guarantee that money to Derek Carr for this to be EJ Manuel going forward. Thanks for coming. Appreciate your text. Put your phone down and just concentrate on your drive today. Wow. 888-957-9570. We are going to take your calls today. A great afternoon of guests. All of our guests coming up at the 30s. At 4:30, it's Bucky Brooks. At 5:30, it's Dan Dockich. At 6:30, it's Bruce Jenkins. And at 3:30, which is next, Mike Sando, a delicious football Sando. As a matter of fact, Colin Cowherd would call it a meat sandwich.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to the Damon Bruce Show, and welcome back to Mike Sando, who used to be a regular. He's very hard to track down these days. He's bigger than us now. Mike Sando, a senior writer for ESPN.com. He's been covering the NFL since 1998, and we've been talking to him for years here on the program. Mike, how are you, buddy?
Great. How are you?
Doing good. The 1-3 Colts, only team they beat was Cleveland, against the 0-4 Niners. Game of the week?
W-E-A-K week, yes, it is. I live in the Seattle area still, and so I was in town last week for the Sunday night game, and I went down on the field before the game, and there's Frank Gore with a bunch of guys on the Colts that you mostly don't recognize warming up, and he's going through his whole routine. I mean, it's an evolved routine. You know, he's doing these, he's stepping, and then after every two or three steps, he reaches down and touches his foot just so. And I was just thinking, man, I mean, here's a guy who's been at the pinnacle, who was, you know, really carrying an offense to the Super Bowl. And here he is sort of playing out the string. You know, you just never know in the league how it's going to end. And
no.
For him, you know, he's had his glory, and now it's got
to
be tough.
And look, you know, Frank bet, I think, on the right young quarterback to kind of attach himself to when he decided Indianapolis was where he was going to play it out. But with Andrew Luck either struggling somehow or not making the right headlines or the right plays or not even being able to play because he's injured, unfortunately for Frank, joining the Colts just hasn't really worked out from a competitive standpoint. I would have loved to have seen this guy get a chance to join a playoff team, but that's far from happening.
Yeah, it'd be kind of like, it's hard to predict sometimes. I mean, it seems in retrospect, but, you know, think where the 49ers were, you know, 3 years ago. Somebody, there's probably a veteran you could find who signed with them thinking, hey, good timing here, catch a team that's going, and before you know it, the whole picture looks different. It's just sort of the way it is in the NFL, unless you go to New England. It's great every year. And yeah, I think Frank, he's just one of the players I respect the most that I've ever really watched. I just love how he goes about his business, love how he plays, and he just always has kind of a dignity about him as a player that even in a tough situation like it is in Indy, you know, he exudes it still. A lot of respect for him.
Mike Sando from ESPN here on 95.7 The Game. So the 49ers are winless. They haven't scored touchdowns in 3 or 4 weeks. It's Brian Hoyer time, and that hasn't amounted to very much at all, but they're going to continue to ride this train because I think this train brings them right to the front of the draft. And if I'm Lynch and Shanahan, 2017 is already about my 2018 draft pick. I know no one likes to talk about tanking, but the future is not now. The future is the future. How would you evaluate Shanahan and Lynch through the first month together?
I wouldn't. I mean, what did you expect with Brian Hoyer? I mean,
right.
I guess this way, you know, they got 6-year deals for a reason, and they're building the team that way. You know, so you can criticize and say, if the criticism is, you know what, these guys should have done more to put a competitive product in the field this year for people who are still playing full price. That's a legit criticism. And if you want to have that line of thinking, I'm not going to disagree with it. Then they deserve criticism. If you say, hey, wait a minute, Rome wasn't built in a day, they're going to try to do this thing the right way, and they're going to have some stability, and it's going to take a while, then I think you can say, okay, it's too early then to make the judgments, and let's see. I think for them, you know, they have played in Carolina, Seattle, and Arizona, three teams with really well-established defensive personnel and defensive cultures. Those are teams where a lot of people are going to score 3 and 12 and 18 points against them. Just watch the results. It's true. And then they had a 50-50 game against the Rams and, you know, 41-39, they, you know, offensive pass interference call. They probably won that game as much as they lost it, right?
Right.
So I think what I would like to see from them is, you know, go out and beat the Colts, be competitive against some of these teams. You know, that aren't maybe as strong.
Right. If you can't beat the cream of the crop, at least beat a bottom feeder every now and then.
Yeah. Like if they go out and lose, 27-7 to the Colts, that's kind of inexcusable and says, hey, there may not even be a baseline of young talent here that we think that you need to build around. But, you know, when you bring in Brian Hoyer as your starting quarterback without a great supporting cast around him, you're probably not going to be great.
Senior writer for ESPN.com, Mike Sando here on the Damon Bruce Show. What is more concerning, that the Raiders didn't look all that great with Derek Carr so far this year offensively, or that they don't have Derek Carr for at least the next few handful of weeks now?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. You know, you've got to figure that there's enough there that they'll get it going at some point, but that's a setback for him. And you know, he's now 2 years in a row he's been hurt, right?
Yeah. I mean, the broken ankle and now this.
Yeah, and some of that may just be bad luck. I mean, I don't see anything necessarily about him. It's not like he looks extra skinny or something, but, you know, some of these top guys play 100 and 200 games almost in a row for a reason, you know, and that's part of being great is being on the field and being available. I feel bad for them. I feel bad for them, but I think they were a team kind of like Tennessee that people built up in the off season as if they had arrived, but they hadn't necessarily won the big games. And I think their quarterbacks haven't necessarily proved it against the top competition for Oakland. That's in the division. You know, how have they done against Kansas City? How have they done against Denver? They had one great game against Denver last year, but for the most part, I think those defenses have had the upper hand on Derek Carr. And so, you know, is this a season where you end up questioning, okay, the offensive coordinator change, are they committed enough to the run? Can Derek Carr slay the top defenses in the division? He sort of wanted to see those questions answered in the right way, and so far it's been the wrong way.
It has been, and now it's E.J. Manuel for at least the next couple weeks and a few games that when you went through the Raiders' schedule looking for a path to a postseason shot, I had these as W's, so they got to come out and still beat the Ravens, whether Derek Carr is there or not. I was excited, Mike, about Marshawn Lynch, but that excitement is quickly worn off here. He's got about another game or two to prove that he's not washed.
Yeah, I thought in the Tennessee game he made a couple nice physical runs, but it's a marathon over the course of the season, and there was legitimately skepticism when you walk away for a year and then come back. And I think the hard part there, so I think Marshawn would be a great addition if everything was going great and you're just going downhill with a bunch of momentum. And I think everybody has fun in those situations and everybody wants to play. But when you've already walked away for a year and you're a veteran player who's been to the top of the mountain, do you get as excited about slogging uphill when it's not fun and when you're losing?
Right.
And then what are you like in those situations? So they may find out over the next month.
I'll tell you what I'm a little nervous about, too, because there's so many aspects about this Raider team that I really do like. I think Derek's a great young quarterback who's just having a bad couple weeks, and Todd Downing needs to figure it out as a first-year offensive coordinator. And the line that can be counted on week in, week out hasn't been counted on or produced in the last couple weeks, but there's enough talent there for them to get it right. I like Crabtree. I think Seth Roberts is okay. I like Rashard. I like DeAndre Washington, who I think need more touches. Amari Cooper is now officially appearing with a red flag. I would hate to think that he falls into the looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane category. Drops all around him. He's got a ton of talent and skill set, but we're just not getting results.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's had, what, four games this season? He's got 12 catches, 110 yards, 9.2 yards per reception. It's not good, but, I mean, he does have a track record of, you know, 2,000-yard seasons where he's pretty good. I agree that he's probably not, you know, that absolute top-shelf, you know, Julio Jones game-changer guy, but I think he still can be a really good wide. I guess the question is does he need the quarterback to lift him up, or is he going to lift someone else up? And unfortunately, they may find out here with E.J. Manuel coming in. And this is another chance, too, Damon, to see how those preseason storylines apply to the regular season. Because remember the excitement over how great E.J. Manuel looked?
Right.
In training camp.
I remember.
Let's see.
Let's see indeed. We'll be watching this weekend. Mike, always appreciate your time. Thanks so much for talking about the Niners and Raiders with us. Is there one other team that you feel that you just must talk about because they've either impressed you or have been so unimpressive it needs to be discussed right here and now?
It does. You know, I tell you what, maybe the Rams proved me wrong. Now, we'll see. They have some tougher games ahead, but the Rams last year averaged 14 points a game. That's really, really, really bad, okay? They're averaging 35.5, and some of that's defense. You know, they've had some return touchdowns and stuff, but I don't care. I went back and looked over, like, the last 15-plus years, and there's nothing even close to average to improving by 21 points a game, and they are favored at home against the Rams this week. And I do a weekly piece on ESPN.com.
The Rams are at home against who?
Seattle.
Seattle. Oh, Seattle, yeah.
Their favorite. And I do a weekly piece, Damon, where I talk to three people in the league, and I have them pick games. All three of them picked the Rams.
Wow.
And Vegas has the Rams as a favorite. And they're averaging 35 a game. And I didn't see it coming to this degree at all because Jared Goff looked so bad last year.
When you say they're averaging 35 a game, do you mean fans or points?
That's true. Well, we'll see this week, right?
Yeah.
This is a prove-it game for them. And I know Seattle's going to travel well. They always do, and it's on the West Coast. It's a trip to L.A. They have a lot of, you know, well-off fans up here in the Northwest, so we'll see. But they're a team that shocked me, really. It's not going to last at 35 a game, but they didn't look anything even close to this, and Goff didn't, and that's encouraging for them.
No doubt. It's very encouraging. Always a delicious Sando. Mike, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mike Sando. Here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, the Warriors have arrived in China. I mean, we got hockey here, but way, way, way across the pond, there is a little basketball. I think we're going to be talking with Warriors insiders tomorrow. They're going to stop on by. We're looking forward to that. Oh, excuse me. They're not insiders. They're outsiders. Yeah, Drew Schiller and Grant are going to come on by, but inside, outside, why the hell are we talking to outsiders? Or are they just that cool? They'll never be part of the machine, man.
They're that cool.
We'll find out tomorrow. So the Warriors, they're definitely part of the machine, man. There's no doubt about it. Maybe that's why you need an outsider to tune them up. But the Warriors are definitely part of the machine. That machine is working overtime in China. Not a lot of rest for the weary. The news that the NBA has tweaked its All-Star game format has certainly caught up to them. And the news of more tweaking sounds really good to Steph Curry. And we'll tell you what that news might be.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
The Warriors are in China. Sources exclusive to the Damon Bruce Show have reported back to us that it takes a long time to fly to China.
I've been on a flight like that. It's a long, long flight.
It's like a 12, 14-hour flight, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a long trip.
Yeah, you can get in a couple movies. You can binge watch a whole TV series, almost a season of something in the time it takes to get to China. And of course, if you're a team that wants to practice a little bit and it's early season, you're not going to be able to practice if you're spending all that time in an airplane. These guys fly in luxurious accommodations. I mean, I think it was Rick Tittle who was coming in and I was saying, we were talking about a 14-hour flight to China and how the Warriors will probably live better and be more accommodated and taken care of in their 14-hour flight to China than we will be in a full 24 hours in our own homes or apartments.
This is probably true.
They are going to be catered to.
Yeah, of course.
There's not a want, a whim, a legroom issue that they'll be struggling with.
Yeah.
But practice, that is a little something that they will be struggling with. They're not going to be able to practice on that airplane trip. They have arrived and they've missed practice because it took so long to get there. Steve Kerr, not concerned.
Unfortunately, that's my expectation, is that nothing will happen.
Oh, excuse me, pardon me. That's the wrong soundbite. This is the correct soundbite.
It doesn't matter what it is. This is our schedule. So I don't know what everybody else is doing, but it makes it a little tougher to have, you know, these long travel days, but that's what it is.
When he says it doesn't matter, maybe he might be referring to the fact that, well, they just put out a GM survey.
They did.
Do you see this?
Mm-hmm.
The GM survey is back. Who do you think it's going to win it all? 93% of NBA GMs are saying, yeah, the Warriors have already won this thing. When's next season get here?
Hey, can somebody give Bob some credit?
Yeah, somebody give Bob a little credit, sure. Please. Thank you very much, Draymond. We want to give him credit. Give credit to the NBA league office for doing something to tweak the interest in NBA All-Star Weekend. It's not going to be East versus West anymore. They're going to have two captains. The captains are going to pick among All-Stars who their teams will be.
It's really, really not the most pressing issue that the NBA is facing, though. Your All-Star Weekend is your bumper sticker. It's your T-shirt that you're selling to fans. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. What matters is the fact that you've got half of the Eastern Conference that would be buried if they played in the West, still making the playoffs. When you've got teams that, because they're in the West, they don't go to the playoffs, but if they were in the East, they'd be a frickin' four seed. Like, it's frustrating. And by the way, changing a playoff format seems like a pipe dream, but it's something that is being bandied about and talked about more than ever before. And here's what Steph Curry thinks about just taking the best 16 teams, regardless of where you come from.
It's something to think about, and obviously, I know the league has been thinking about it for a while. Probably been asked that question plenty of times. Because obviously, you have to worry about logistics and travel, and especially in the early rounds in the playoffs. But in a perfect world, obviously, that would be a true kind of resemblance of making the regular season valuable when you have the 16 by record, the 16 best teams. But I'm sure there's reasons it hasn't happened yet, and that's for the guys that run the league to figure out.
By the way, Steve Kerr with an awful lot of comments today about what happened in Las Vegas. Comments that I'm sure will rub half the audience the wrong way, but we will get to them next hour. They're valid, and there are certain people who I think are completely qualified to talk about the issue of gun control. And if your father was assassinated, you qualify. Yeah. Steve Kerr's father was killed by gunfire.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
So we will be hearing from him next hour. Whether it helps or hurts how you feel about the issue is irrelevant to how calmly and matter-of-factly and pretty reasonably Steve Kerr went talking about a very complex, sensitive issue. Meanwhile, bringing it back to the Raiders, Jack Del Rio just says it's time for Derek Carr to help E.J. Manuel get ready to play the Ravens this weekend, and that is, of course, what Derek's doing.
He's a professional. We expect him to be professional, prepare himself, but also be a positive influence in the room and sharing ideas and knowledge and all that, and he'll do that.
And E.J. is getting ready to take on Baltimore.
You know, they're 2-2 just like we are. You know, they have savvy vets all over the field in the secondary and also on the D-line. So, you know, it's going to be a great matchup for us, and I think, you know, we can get the running game going and everything like that, as well as the passing game. You know, the assists off of that will be in good shape.
Let's go out to the phones at 888-957-9570. Joe Baggy in Oakland wants to talk about the Raiders. What's up, Joe?
How you doing, man? How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Raiders, man. My take on it, I want to know what you have to say, is they just don't look like a team possessed, ready to take a championship, you know? They showed well against the Jets, which is okay. But, you know, the rest of the season so far, it looks like they just wanted to come to them. Where you look around the league, you look at guys like Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, they're ready to take a championship. That's what they did last year in the Super Bowl. I look at the leader there, Jack Del Rio. You know, what's going on in the locker room with him? Is he getting this team ready? Is he doesn't look like a man possessed, ready to win a championship. What's your take on that?
You know, I think there are two styles of coaching that we usually see. It's the pulling your hair out, everything's on fire style, and the nothing is going to rattle me style. And that is obviously what Jack Del Rio likes to project. He doesn't get too high about a win. He doesn't get too low about a loss. And I think that can be interpreted as a lack of emotion, a lack of compassion. And in some cases, I would agree with you. I need to see more fire from the players. I need to see more players holding other players accountable. I want to see a more involved, more passionate, more angry at itself football team when it fails to execute. I want to see a more angry at the football team coaching staff. But I want to see these players, like you say, take some ownership over what is going right, what is going wrong. So it starts with Kelechi Osemele. Like, Kelechi Osemele, all last season, I thought Kelechi Osemele might punch anybody in his eyesight. He hasn't scared me once this year. Like, Kelechi Osemele has not turned into the guy that, oh, you never want to meet him in the alley. Like, I'd be very happy to meet Kelechi Osemele in an alley and walk past him and assume that nothing would happen. He has lost all of that real anger that he seemed to be possessed with last year. Do you realize that this is the single most important thing Derek Carr's ever done, or Derek Papa's ever done for the station?
It actually was important because it helped us remember how to pronounce his name.
It helped us pronounce the name and all get on the same page.
Yeah.
That is one of the greatest Derek Papa contributions we've ever had. I mean, the Truth Machine's fantastic, but this really helped.
It actually did. It's catchy. This is helpful, too. But we know JD's name. Dickinson, Super Reporter.
I love it. That is definitely his Stairway to Heaven. I mean, let's be honest. There's no doubt. But I want to see that fire. I want to see players getting angry. I want to see them playing angry. You know, when this offensive line gets its quarterback sacked, they should walk off the field yelling at each other. That's your fault. That's your fault. That's our fault. We didn't get the right blocking assignment down. We didn't audible the right way. We have screwed this up. Who's going to get it right? And I do want to see that. And I do think it's coming. I really do. By the way, 95.7 The Game and Livermore Ford are giving you a chance to win $5,000 in your pick 'em for a truckload of cash contest. You can head over to 957thegame.com to make your weekly football picks. The winner each week gets a $100 gift card plus qualifies for the $5,000 grand prize. Pick 'em for a truckload of cash contest. Presented by Livermore Ford. For full details, you can visit the contest page at 957thegame.com. He's an NFL analyst. We enjoy talking to Bucky Brooks, and we're going to do that next hour at 4:30. Until then, very interesting stuff from Steve Kerr. It's going to get people mad. It's going to get people upset, but I'm tired of people getting shot, so we're going to do that anyways. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.